Kevin and Beans. Breakfast. You'd be like a big breakfast machine. With news in Manhattan, New York.
Well, you guys know us. He's Kevin and I'm Bean. Please say hello to Muse.
Hey.
How about Muse?
Hello there.
Look, I know you guys have been around for a long, long time, and you played a lot of very small crowds. This has to be among the smallest group that you've ever played for.
Yeah, it's got
to be
one of the best crowds, though, surely.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm antisocial, and I've had more people at a dinner party than we have here for Breakfast with Views. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, there you go.
Well, it's great to see you guys again. It's been a number of years since we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show. I couldn't believe it when they said last night that it was your first ever American television appearance on the MTV show last night. Like,
yeah,
how is that possible, as popular as you've been for so long?
Yeah, it's
spent
weird.
A lot of time just touring in the States, you know, just going around playing to you know, lots of people and going to lots of different cities multiple times. Strange we've never done this, but cool.
But makes it all it more wasn't cool. By choice. You didn't have a no TV edict or anything like that.
Oh, nothing like that.
No,
we do loads of stuff over in Europe, you know, loads of TV stuff. But I think, it's just like, it seemed like this is a good album to start opening things up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Just on this one?
Yeah, just
really?
This one. Yeah, from now on, yeah.
All right.
Well, it's a big week for y'all. Of course, the record comes out around much of the world today and then the rest of the world tomorrow on Tuesday. And it's called The Resistance. And you've been working on it a long time. Do you feel like you're... is this the giving birth part of your job where you go, all right, we're about to unleash it to the world? I know people have heard some of it online, but now it's out there for reals for people to buy.
Yeah, it's it's an exciting time when you're releasing an album, for sure. But it's a bit kind of weird because you've been working on these songs for so long in the studio, and we like produced it by ourselves as well in our own studio. So, you know, when we're working on an album, the doors are like locked to everyone apart from the three of us and, you know, an engineer or something. So, you know, and you get so close to the songs and you're working on them and they're evolving all the time, and then all of a sudden you've got to like let them all go into like.
How do
you know other people's hands, you know, so it's a bit strange. But
how do you guys are kind of perfectionists. How do you know when it's time to stop tinkering? I mean,
in the studio, you mean?
Yeah.
I think some of the songs we started off. Actually, Uprising was actually the first song we recorded on the new album, because we thought that was a track that we were most comfortable playing live, so we could just play it and it just happened. Some of the other tracks though were more complicated, and so some of the tracks, especially the ending, like Exogenesis, got loads of strings on it. There were so many kind of layers of the composition, so much going on, that just getting it done was it. You know, like just getting it done took ages anyway. So we didn't really have much time to sort of redo things or much time to overthink things. You know, we just kind of got on with it, basically.
So this is a first take, is what you're telling us.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, good. Talk about the album cover for a second, because I've seen the images, and it looks like someone threw up on the Epcot Center. Would you say that's an accurate description?
That sounds pretty accurate to me. Yeah, that's his department, the artwork.
It's much more lovely than a pile of puke on the floor.
should I know what it is? Is it supposed to represent something, or does it somehow tie into the Resistance?
Oh, Dom, tell us, what's it about?
Let's see. Well, we got an artist to work on it called Lobocca, which is a guy called Sam, who is really cool. But I see it as, when you actually get the sleeve, there's another piece of artwork on the inside of the booklet that's kind of similar, in a circle with another little man walking down the little yellow brick road, which is what it looks like. They're kind of like almost brackets to Exogenesis in some kind of weird way. I mean, it certainly looks cool, but you know, Exogenesis is a kind of a song, you know, about, you know, someone leaving a planet to go and, like, find a new planet to go and, like, you know, start a new civilization somewhere. And, like, which is kind of some weird sci-fi.
That's always happens.
It's some weird, like, sci-fi fantasy, you know?
And that's what you get.
The front cover is kind of, it almost looks like a bit of a weird portal to the Earth, you know what I mean? But it looks like someone's
about to go on some kind of journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Into space or
kind of leaving, potentially, and looking back at the Earth. And then the other piece of artwork I'm talking about, which is inside the cover, which kind of brackets it, is almost someone discovering this whole new world and kind of running towards it. So it kind of makes a bit more sense.
You have so much more going on than me.
Like, I recognize a lot of those words. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, let's go with it. Go with it.
Matt sounded like he was asking you questions. He doesn't understand it. I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, it's a long ways from Boy Meets Girl, isn't it, your music?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, did you guys, forgive my ignorance, did you guys invent the word Exogenesis, or is that something that actually means what you describe?
I think it's out there. That's out there. It's panspermia is the other word. It's like, basically, it's a word it describes.
I'm sorry, what was the other word?
Panspermia.
Believe it. For those in the back, panspermia.
There you go. Exogenesis is the more sort of the alternative word for that same word. Basically means like the idea that life is something that is not just restricted to this planet. Yeah.
Right now, there are CBS lawyers frantically looking up panspermia to see if we're allowed to say it on the radio. So, all right, it's Breakfast with Muse. We are here in New York City. The album comes out on tomorrow, as we mentioned. We're going to take a quick break. The guys are going to be performing for us here today. I don't know if that's okay with the assembled here, but... if you'll allow it, we'll do that, and we'll include some of your questions when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Are you ready for breakfast?
You ready?
Oh, good.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan, New York.
It is Breakfast with Muse. We are in New York City. We've got about, I don't know, 15 listeners, 16? That's about it.
We'd have more, but our station was too cheap to fly any more than this to New York City, so you could tell. But we are here with the guys in Muse who have an enormous 2009 planned, including playing Giant Stadium in just a very few days, opening for U2, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But first, we're going to go out to the audience. King of Mexico is here with us. You're in the crowd. Who's our first question for Breakfast with Muse?
Mono Lee here.
Mono Lee, welcome.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hello there.
I was wondering, what's the weirdest thing a fan has ever done for you?
Oh. Is there a part B to this that we should be worried about?
She wants to know what she needs to do to beat it.
I had a fan in Russia who painted a picture of me naked with a crow on my shoulder.
Yes.
That's pretty far out.
That is pretty far out.
Slightly creepy.
And very creepy as well, yeah.
Did you? Did the fan present the picture to you?
They presented it to me and said, look what I've done. Uh-huh. A picture of me. I looked a bit like Uncle Festo or something. It wasn't a good look. It was a very
Privates?
Vibe.
Did she interpret your privates as accurately?
I've had nightmares ever since. Dom's kept it, and I think he's put it on his wall. He's annoyed me every time I go to his house.
The creepier thing is I found it in my house the other day.
Oh, wow.
It's still hanging around.
Dom has it in his bedroom wall, you know.
But one day you'll have a garage sale, and you'll be glad that you still have it, right?
All right, Dave, who's next?
I got Ramon.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Why did you call the album The Resistance?
The Resistance. The album kind of plays with... I've been living in London and Italy for a while, and when I was in London, there's loads of these protests going on, the G20 protests.
Sure, right.
And it was going on right outside my flat, pretty much, so I got to see it all. And I got to see all these kind of people dressed up in silly costumes and sort of, you know, going to the Houses of Parliament with basically a revolution, but having fun at the same time, you know, and I quite like that approach. So I wanted to sort of make the album themed around the idea of revolution and resistance, you know, and the album sort of flips between various different... ways of going about resistance, whether it be like a peaceful resistance, whether it be a violent resistance or whatever.
Were you annoyed at first by the sound and the people and everything else, or were you...
I was into it, you know. Yeah, because like, yeah, we get used to it, because I live by the American Embassy, and there's protests there every week.
Sure.
And why not?
Some years that's an okay place to be, some years not so much. Are you guys politically involved at all, or do you ever make a statement for or against things back home or around the world?
I'm not really that political. I mean, I try to make a few statements within the music, but I'm not a sort of activist, or I'm not a person that talks about things outside of the music. I like to try and filter into the music if possible, you know.
Sure, I understand. Take us back to the, if you would, since a lot of people are kind of, more people discover Muse every time you put out a new record. You're going to get a whole lot of new fans with this new record, I'm sure. But, you know, people may not be aware you've been around for years and years and years. You've been playing together since you're practically 13 years old, which is so astonishing to me that you could find musical soulmates that would all grow in the same direction and nobody would lose interest or decide they want to go get a quote-unquote real job. What's been the glue that's kept you together all this time?
We've just, from a very young age, we all played in bands. Chris in a different band, Matt was in my band, and we gradually got together just because I think we all saw that it was only the three of us out of all those people that had, like, quite a, you know, a real love for music and a real ambition to make music. And I guess we just saw that from an early age. I'm sure we weren't very good when we first started, you know, but I think we tried hard, you know.
I think his question has
I think it's because I suppose we're almost like brothers because we've known each other for so long.
Right.
Since we're about 12, 13.
Got to be a lot of fights.
And you go through all sorts of ups and downs, and everyone's gone through loads of
Gallagher brother moments, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Plenty in the studio. Basically, we've all been through loads of personal changes, and we've all helped each other through those things, you know, and we've all grown up together, basically. So I think
especially to get to the kind of music that you're recording now, which none of you could have even imagined 15 years ago. The fact that you all are still comfortable and that's the direction that you're going is a real testament to
I think also because we're close friends, I think that means when we're in the studio, we're kind of having fun. We're not taking it too seriously. So therefore, we can try things that other people probably would be a little bit afraid to try. You know. So.
Do you have blow-ups? I'm gone for the day. I can't take you two.
Me and Dom have plenty of blow-ups. Yeah. And then Chris steps in.
All right.
No one messes with Chris because he's twice the size of us.
Yeah, well.
I noticed that. I'm a little intimidated just sitting here.
Yeah, it's easy when you're a three-piece because, you know, it's always two against one.
Oh, that's true.
But your democracy works.
That's right. You get two votes.
It's usually me against Dom.
Member, you know.
It's usually me against Dom or Dom against me, and then Chris steps in and resolves it.
All right. Yeah.
You know, back to the early days then. So tell me about this small town where you guys grew up, because I've never heard of it except when it's referred to. Is it famous for anything other than, hey, here's where Muse is from?
I don't think it is, no. You can get sticks of rock there, you know, sticks of rock.
No.
Sweet, what do you call them?
Whatever. Candy.
Candy sticks, long candy sticks, where it's got the town name written in it.
I don't think we have those here.
They make very good candy sticks where we come from.
Okay. Candy sticks, and then there's Muse. Is it the kind of town where there's not a lot for teenagers to do?
There's nothing really for teenagers when we're growing up. You get a lot of skaters and people in bands who are just sort of doing that to keep themselves occupied, really. You know, that's kind of where the kind of scene we were growing up in.
Was it tough to find places to play?
Yeah,
it's pretty impossible, really. I mean, there's a few pubs and places like that, but it was all full of old people. So, we go and play there once or twice, and they never ask us to go back. So, I think there's maybe one venue in the whole of, you know, in a 50-mile radius or something.
Most bands have to start doing some cover songs or something else, you know, to kind of get their foot in the door. Did you ever have to do that?
Well, the bands we were in before we got together were covers bands. You know,
all of them.
Playing various types of covers, you know.
What is the song that we would least expect you guys to have played?
When I was 13, I was in a band that actually played Black or White by Michael Jackson.
Wow!
So that would be, imagine, a bit of a surprise.
And then you joined my band.
And then I joined his band, which is a lot cooler. They were playing like Sonic Youth songs,
right?
And stuff. Yeah.
We did a weird one was High Speed Dirt by Bloody Megadeth.
That was a pretty strange.
Well, it may be time, you know, the tour coming up this year, maybe time to dust some of those off, you know?
We always throw a few riffs in, actually. I mean, people who come to our gigs, they always notice we always throw like a Rage riff or a Deftones riff or something like that every now and again, just to keep the kids bouncing.
That's awesome. It's Breakfast with Muse, by the way. We're going to take another quick break here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The boys will be playing again when we return, and we've got more of your questions as well. This is pretty awesome, by the way. And we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Breakfast with Muse continues.
Don't forget The Resistance. The new album comes out tomorrow. You're lame if you don't get it. I think that's what I'm officially going to go on record as saying here, because it is awesome.
Well, the guys, Muse are one of those bands where you don't have to love it. I do. But you have to listen to it. You have to check it out, because it's not like you're going to get that anywhere else.
No, it is different. In fact, even you guys being into it, writing and creating that music, have to wonder sometimes if you've pushed it too far, you know? Because... At some point, it gets into parody.
Yeah. I think we were always treading on that line. I think we quite like that line. You know, we quite like that line between is this over the top or is it just right? But I think it depends what mood you're in when you're listening to the music. You know, like if you sit down and like someone just blasts an opera at you, you know, you'll probably think it sounds ridiculous or you laugh at it. But if you're in the mood and you're there in the place, it makes sense. You know, so it depends what mood you're in when you're hearing some of the songs. Some of the songs when you hear them for the first time, they all sound very very extreme, almost over the top. You know, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, that's what we do.
Are there some that you left off because you went, it's a little too far that direction?
Well, I'm surprised Exogenesis got on, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Put it that way.
I don't say it's just over the top. It's just, you know, it's just deep.
Yeah.
You know, it's a journey. It's a journey rather than just being, like, overindulgent. I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like that's what we're, the kind of music we're making when we're creating music in the studio. But, I mean, a lot of the time the songs evolve a lot and we normally put a lot of things on them just because, not because we're trying to, it's just that, you know, that's what we like to do. Lots of different instruments and lots of different parts and be very ambitious. ambitious with them, but normally we'd kind of take things away towards the end of the recording process anyway and strip it back a bit.
Right. But I thought when I've seen you before that you're really just mocking all the bands that are out there with eight members when you're making so much noise and you're so big with just the three of you, and occasionally you'll get a little help from a sideman on stage.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's unbelievable how loud and how much you can generate with just you scrawny little Englishman.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it was, you know, it's got big souls in little bodies. Little big man, is that the term?
Little big man, yeah, sure.
Before we go back out to the audience, here's a Facebook question from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Sylvia writes in. She wants to know, especially with the giant stadium gig right around the corner opening for you two, what are your feelings on playing huge football stadium crowds versus small intimate crowds? Do you like them both? Or
love it.
Yeah, you love it?
Yeah, we really enjoy it because, you know, some of our music actually works really well in that kind of environment, big environment, you know, because some of the songs, like, you want to get the crowd clapping along or singing along with you, you know, so that always feels better in a sort of sports arena or a football thing. Anyway, I like little gigs as well. I mean, this is quite good. It's difficult to get sound right in little venues.
Right.
That's the main thing I don't like about it. But when the sound's good, little venues can be great as well because it's more intimate.
Difficult to get the sound good in bigger venues too? Because I've seen a lot of bands.
Actually, that is true. Actually, that is very difficult. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you guys write picturing yourselves in front of a big crowd in mind? Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of...
I think some songs. I think like Uprising, the bit where in the middle we can hear a bunch of football hooligans going, oi. You know, the bit going, oi. Yeah, that bit there was written with the idea that all the crowds are going
to
be...
Did you employ some real hooligans to record that?
Yep. we've got a couple working with us on tour who came to the studio and got rowdy.
Bean mentioned you're going to open for you too. Tell us about how that came about. Well, is it nine dates? Is it...
Yeah, I think something it's about like 10, nine. Maybe 9 10? Or 10, something like that, across mainly East Coast, isn't it? It goes down to Florida, then a little bit. We don't come over to the West Coast, unfortunately, but we'll be coming back that way later on. But yeah, how'd it come about? I mean, I met those guys, we did like a photo shoot together or something for Q Magazine a while ago, and I was chatting to the Edge, and Edge is like really into his gear, his studio gear, so I was chatting to him about guitar amps and gear, like, and became quite friendly, and so I think it may have come from that. You know.
Most bands, they try to bring somebody that won't upstage them. As an opening act. Most of them go, oh, you could be good, but don't be too good. We want to blow people away. U2's one of those rare bands that probably can, but...
Well, I think they'll be right with us. I mean, I think we'll play well, but they've got about £45 million worth of set that's going to help them out.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
So I think they may just have the edge.
They do have the edge,
quite
too, as well.
When you finalized that deal to open for U2, it had to have flashed through your mind. There was a time in your life when you went out and bought a U2 album as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Had to have happened.
Yeah, my brother, my older brother, was a massive fan of U2, or still is a massive fan of U2. I remember hearing their early records like Joshua Tree and, you know, Under a Blood Red Sky. That live album was
amazing. Yeah. All right, let's go back out to the audience here. It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse. Who's next, Dave?
Guys, I got Natasha.
Hey, Natasha.
Hi. Hi.
What are you doing later? Oh, I'm sorry. We're on. Go ahead.
You guys are phenomenal. And my question is, like, if you could meet your idol, who would it be?
If you could meet your idol?
I would... I think there's one person that if I met that would make me really nervous, and that would be Tom Waits, because I think he's just an amazing songwriter, amazing performer, just like he's some kind of enigma. You know, he's the kind of person that I almost wouldn't want to meet in case he didn't, you know.
But you have an image of what it would be like to talk to him, and it might be disappointing,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, but he's like to me like some kind of genius, you know.
Yeah. How about you, Dan?
Well, you know, a non-living one, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
If anyone could meet him, you could.
Another non-living, maybe Buddy Rich as well, you know, because he's like a big inspiration to loads of drummers.
Yeah,
but he was
course.
A real character, because apparently he's a real badass, you know, and he used to like treat his band like shit.
but you admire that.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be quite interesting to meet him and see what kind of character.
Maybe when
he is.
You get to that other planet, you guys could all hang out.
Hopefully, he's going to be there.
Good stuff. How about you, Chris?
I think it'd probably have to be Brian Wilson, I think. Big Beach Boys fan.
Wow.
So,
how about that?
Yeah, that'd be quite cool, you know, hang out, talk about the 60s, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Muse fan, knowing how into production he is.
I don't know, he's pretty frail these days, so I don't know if he'd take it too well.
You guys might overpower him if he heard that.
Interesting choices. All right. Can we do one more before the break, Dave?
Yeah, this is Julio.
Julio.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Huge fan. I've heard your guys' songs in movies. Would you guys ever compose something for a movie? I mean, hearing Exogenesis and all the other good, you know, piano songs, and would you guys ever do that?
We get asked from time to time to do bits and pieces. Actually, I did the end credits of a film called The International, which wasn't a very known film, but that was something that happened just before we made the album. That was one of the things that actually gave me the idea to go with Exogenesis, a more sort of orchestral piece. At the moment, I might be doing some vague work with a new film called Clash of the Titans, but to be honest with you, it's the Hollywood world is really it's tough. I'll be polite as possible. They're very difficult to work with. That's the polite thing I can say. But yeah, it's something that would be I'd be into getting into if I had more time. Certainly, yeah.
I can understand it as an artistic challenge why that would be exciting. But you're right; you have to deal with so many bosses, and you have to make so many other people happy. As opposed to you've already got your own band, you guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you do. When you're in a band, you do your own thing, do whatever you want. No one's telling you what to do, you know. But as soon as you go in the Hollywood world, you know. You're at the bottom of a very, very big
yeah, pile. That's true. I was reading a book by Stuart Copeland, who has done a lot of movie scores, and he's got entire orchestras set up, ready to go, and somebody will come into the last second he's never met and say, I want it to go a different direction. And he's got to do it 5 minutes.
He's got to do it. Right. Yeah, gotta go, yeah.
You don't see yourself doing that.
We've talked a lot about Exogenesis, and when people get the album, they'll know why so many people are talking about it, because it's unlike anything we've heard in such a long time. But that's a 40-piece orchestra on that track, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's 25, I think, but we recorded them twice. So it's kind of 50.
All right, 50-ish. All right.
It's a cheap 50. Yeah.
Was it hard to keep a hold of that, or is it easy to kind of lose focus and control when you got that many musicians? You got to get going in the same direction.
Well, we worked up our parts first and recorded our parts, and then we actually did sort of synthesized strings first to sort of familiarize ourselves with how it's going to go. You know, so by the time we went with the orchestra in the studio, we were very prepared. You know, you have to be prepared when dealing with that many people, and because otherwise it will just go to
it's
chaos.
It's pretty expensive to just have them doodling around for a few exactly, hours. Yeah, to find the beat, right?
Actually, having said that, we did get them doodling at one point. Yeah, we got them to just doodle and just improvise, and we recorded some weird experimental stuff, which may feature on the future album, maybe.
You guys had to feel like Brian Wilson when you were there looking out of that orchestra, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I actually missed the orchestra bit. I was ill, so I was pretty jaded, because it's always amazing to see, you know, the strings come in, and yeah, always amazing to see other people playing on your music. So yeah, I was really upset that I missed that little
did
session.
You ever hear the they're kind of knockoffs, but your band is one that got the string quartet treatment. Did you ever listen to that record that was released of your music?
Yeah, I think I heard Time Is Running Out or something done.
Yeah,
by
yeah,
quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a compliment, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
songs stand up without your participation. So. All right, we got to take another quick break. More live music from the band when we return. More of your questions, too. It's Breakfast with Music. How do you guys like it so far? Pretty cool, right? Yeah.
Michelle likes it. Michelle's well into it.
We'll be right back after this on the Kevin and Beans
Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan.
Taking me far away.
We are back. It is our Breakfast with Muse on the Kevin and Bean Show. The three guys are here. We are in New York City with some listeners. And Jessica Martinez is a listener who wrote in on Facebook, and she wants to know how it feels seeing yourself as a character in Guitar Hero 5.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah, I'm quite into that. I don't even know much about Guitar Hero. I think Night of Cydonia was a song that went on one of the previous games, and I never got the chance to see it. But when we were in the studio, these guys were playing Guitar Hero quite a lot. And I'm actually really crap at the guitar, but I'm really good at the drums. And
is that right?
Yeah, but I'm into it. I had to go and put on this silly like leotard, like a sort of like, and cover myself in ping pong balls and look like a right old basically dancing around. And that was like a motion capture suit, you know.
Oh, I see.
So it was good to get a little insight into all that technology, you know.
Do they run it by you and you go, hey, you know, I could have a few more muscles.
Well, you know. Yeah, I think the ping pong balls were covering all the important parts.
They made you, like, really, like, buff and ripped.
Oh, right, yeah. The actual character they made at the end, yeah, looks like a real sort of beefcake.
that's what I'm talking about.
As you say over here, yeah.
Might as well.
So someone can be you in the game and then play...
Play
Avatar, right?
Yeah. Be an Avatar, which is me playing... I think our song's Plugging Baby in there. But uh-huh. I think there's also... I think you can use the character to play other songs as well.
Isn't that wild? And then you know, I think I've heard you mention in interviews, you look on there and it's Kurt Cobain and it's Carlos Santana and it's Johnny Cash and it's you.
Yes, I don't know how I got there.
It is pretty weird. I tried to challenge Tom Morello to a game of Guitar Hero on one of the previous ones where he was an avatar and you got to get past him, and he wouldn't do it. He says, I can't. I don't have anything to prove. I'm the one that did it on the real guitar.
He wouldn't play with himself, no?
Correct.
All right, here's another Facebook question. We talked about movie scoring a little bit, but now Angie Gonzalez wants to know, tell us how Stephanie Meyer became obsessed with your band and what it has to do with Twilight.
She came to a gig. It must have been five, six, a number of years ago. It was when she was still writing maybe the first, second book or something. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. She came to a concert in Phoenix in Arizona, which I'm not sure, she may have been living there or something.
That's where she's from.
So we got to meet her, and she's very nice. She came back after the concert in a chat, and she was telling us how much she likes the music, and she says she listens to it when she's writing. So that's.
And you, of course, had no idea who she was at this point, because
I didn't know anything about the book until I met her that time.
Right.
And then she said that night, she said, oh, by the way, if I ever get a film made, can I use one of your songs? And I said, yeah, right. I didn't know that was going to come up within a couple of years, you know. So that's how it came about.
You were thinking, yeah, that'll never happen.
Sure. Of course. Have you seen the films?
I've seen the first one. Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't seen the second one yet. It's not out yet.
I don't think it's out yet. No one's seen this one yet.
But it's so interesting because a lot of writers of books and movies do this where they play music while they're. And she says, I mean, she was literally choreographing some of those scenes to certain Muse songs, which is just
it's amazing.
An unexpected consequence of your music being out there in the world, I guess.
it's a massive compliment when, you know, anyone gets inspired by your music to do something creative. It's great. And obviously that's emphasized when she's, you know, sold 45 million books or something.
What if she sold? That was YouTube's production cost.
Oh, yeah.
Now she probably wouldn't take your calls.
Yeah, but, you know, it's amazing, really. She's put dedications into books and all sorts. So,
that's awesome.
That's great. It's great that she likes it.
What's a great place that you've been able to visit in the world in your touring days that... a lot of people don't get to see that surprised you as being a...
We always loved touring in Asia. We played in Indonesia, and that was a crazy crowd there. And South Korea, we played there. We're trying to get into North Korea, but we're not sure if they're going to let us in.
You know? Well, you have to run across the border. That's how you do it.
What's he called? Mao Zhang? What's he called, that guy? Yeah.
Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, Kim Jong-il. Yeah. Don't think we're going to get in there, I think, unless we put a big poster of him up behind us. But we played true. South Korea, and the crowd was just unbelievable. And the crowds out in Asia are just insane. You know?
Why do you think? They love rock music.
I think, to be honest, a lot of bands don't tour there that often. So when bands come through, they're just, you know, very, very keen.
Do you when you schedule your tour, do you give yourself some time to actually see the country, or is it fly in, do a gig, fly right out?
Depends where we go, really. You know, when we're like touring around the States and Europe, where we're on a bus, basically, when you've got a big tour bus, you know, the gigs are quite tight together and it's hard to really get a lot of time. But like what Matt was saying about Asia, because you're flying around, you get to see quite a lot. And Australia is always a good place to see sights because we're going to be doing the big day out, and that's called the big day off, really.
Is that Montana? Yellowstone Park?
Part of it's in Montana. Yeah.
Yeah, we went there once actually. That was really good. When we're traveling through the middle of America, we always like to stop off and look at the sort of the big sort of wild nature there. It's amazing.
Do you have any countries that you just have nothing but bad memories of? Places you've been that were just crap holes.
Disastrous gig. You didn't get paid. You got hit in the face with an apple.
I can say we didn't have a good time in Brazil. I can say that much.
Brazil?
Yeah,
wow.
Brazil. Yeah, we did a South American tour and everything was great. But Brazil was just a bit. We had a couple of bad gigs and we took a few wrong turns, down a few wrong alleys, and nearly got killed.
You don't really want to do that in Brazil.
But basically, but that was. But yeah. It was cool.
All in all, you get on pretty well around the world.
Generally, we're very friendly. We like everyone.
We like to be tourists, and try and see as much as possible.
So sure.
It's good to travel.
We are doing our breakfast with Muse here on the Kevin and Bean Show. With this new record coming out and all the high-profile appearances like last night on MTV, are you concerned a little bit about losing some of your anonymity that you might have enjoyed up till this point in the United States?
I think we're all the fans we've had just like us in the music, so we're not the kind of people that get recognized in the supermarket or walking down the street. Well, maybe the odd cashier here and there, but it's certainly not a problem. We don't get like stalked out by people, so people tend to just like the music, which is great.
Well, you do in England, don't you? I mean, isn't it?
It's all right, because we're not like, as I said, we're not like the celebrity types. We don't go to bars with like models and get into fights with other bands and stuff.
Is that in the future?
That's what you have to do in England to be known, basically.
Let's not knock dating models, by the way. Not so quick with that. Yeah. All right, we got to take one more break. Come back with another live performance from the band Muse and the final round of questions for these guys. It's Breakfast with Muse. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll return right after this. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Beans. Breakfast. With Muse in Manhattan.
They will
We've been hearing that one a lot lately, but how about that live? That's Uprising Muse here on Breakfast with Kevin and Bean.
to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive. No one's going to take me alive.
It is our Breakfast with Muse, the last segment here with the guys from New York City. And I got to ask you guys, a lot of people compare you to other bands. I know that has annoyed you in the past. Radiohead's a long time ago. Queen, a lot of people say. Yep. Just to try and kind of get a handle on your music. I was reading an article in Spin Magazine. They called your music Picture Steroids on Steroids.
Steroids on steroids.
Yes, that's how they described this that's new
pretty,
album.
That's pretty pumped up, isn't it?
How would you describe it?
Steroids on steroids. I like that. That's pretty out there. I'm not sure how to describe it, really. It's you can't really be objective to yourself. Do you know what I mean? You just do it. It just comes, you know, whatever comes out, it just comes out, and you just go with it, you know? I think, you know, it's a rock band, don't we? Yeah. Let's keep it simple.
It's Muse music. That's what it is,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Would it be lame for me to ask, since I really don't know how you ended up settling on that name? Because you had a bunch of other names that you've worked with together and apart before Muse. I mean, it's so simple, and it's one of those words it seems like you could read a lot into, but what did it mean to you when you picked it?
I think, yeah, the town we came from was, like, there was not much going on in it, and apart from a lot of people getting in bands, a lot of people doing art and that kind of stuff, and it just seemed like, I remember there's some old boy in the town who said there's, like, a muse in the town, like there's some kind of weird spirits or something that are influencing everyone to do all this artistic stuff, and that word just stuck with me, you know, and then we sort of, we liked it because it was short. We were called Rocket Baby Dolls at one point, and that's so long that it looks crap on a poster, you know, so muse always looks big on a poster because it's so small, you know?
Sure, yeah.
We just wanted one syllable.
Were you surprised when it wasn't taken? Because a lot of people come up with names that they're so happy with, and then they find out.
I was very surprised because it's it seems like such an obvious name for a band. You know?
Yeah. Here's one more Facebook question for y'all. This is from Corey. Wants to know if you guys have ever thought about collaborating with another artist to record. Is that something that may happen?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, we haven't done anything like that really to date, other than like working with strings and stuff like that. But yeah, maybe. I mean, it's not anything. It's not something we ever turned down or actively got involved with, really. But
something would have to make sense, right person.
Oh, yeah,
right,
yeah. We did something with Mike Skinner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Mike Skinner from the Streets. He's a kind of rapper.
Right. We mentioned the Giant Stadium tour date, which is going to kind of kick off the tour. How long are you guys going to be out on the road this time around?
I think we'll be going on and on probably till the end of next year, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the moment, we've got the UT tour, then a European tour, then we're doing Asia and Australia, and then we're coming in for quite an extensive US tour. It'll be our biggest US tour, starting around about end of February, March, or something like that,
How does that fly with those of you with wife and kids?
It's fine. I think we kind of structure it so, you know, you go home every...
Anyone with wife and kids, feel free to take that one.
But, you know, you just go home after, you know, 3 weeks, go home for 4 or 5 days, and then come back out.
So they schedule you some time in the middle that you can go back.
I don't think there's any more than 3 or 4 weeks that we won't go, so...
Without, like, a week off.
Yeah.
Is it daunting? Do you think, wow, a year and a half of my life is already playing out?
It is at first, and then once you get into it, it's fine, you know. It's just getting started, I think.
Yeah, getting started up is, but once you're rolling, and you're off, yeah.
And when you hit the stage, that's when it's all worth it, right?
Exactly.
You have news fans in front of you, and you're playing the music that you love, and it's got to be the biggest high in the world.
That's the main reason I've got a band, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally the main reason, and the thing is, we still love it, you know. We're still touring, and, like, the last tour was 2.5 years, and I'm sure we're going to go on a tour for another few years now and make more music in the future, but it's something that when we're all, like, on the same page and really, like, lost in the music, it's an amazing feeling, so it's something that's still inspiring to us.
I'd like to be the first one to ask you when the next Muse album is going to come out.
Cool, blimey.
Next Monday.
Okay, next week.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, every time we get the opportunity to talk to the few rock bands out there that seem to be getting something done, we always thank them on behalf of our show and our station, because there aren't very many of you anymore. We're living in a little Wayne world. Right. So we appreciate that you guys are out there keeping it alive and doing the great work that you do, and especially appreciate you taking time. Let's hear it for the guys in Muse, by the way. Really great, you guys. Best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
So Bean is not a workaholic. If it's 10:01, he's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He does not like doing our show.
Right.
I'll give you that much.
Okay.
Well, now, hold on a second.
He doesn't like working with us.
I spend a tremendous amount of my day working here preparing for the show.
That's right.
Sound together and reading things, being prepared.
Kevin, too. Kevin's busy all the time, working all the time at home.
Get him off the email, that's for sure.
He works all the time.
So Bean goes to Finland on vacation. Because he's always wanted to go. And by the way, Ralph, you didn't hear this part. He tortured us with it all last year before he was denied his visa or whatever.
Right. His passport was not valid any longer.
He tortured us for 6 months. And he tortured us for 3 months this year.
I know.
Wasn't as good as he thought.
Shut up.
That's what he said.
What I said was, I think Norway was a more beautiful country is what I said. Because Finland is very flat. It doesn't have the fjords and the mountains that you expect in Scandinavia. I was surprised by how flat it was. But I had a great time. The people were great. I saw a lot of cool stuff. And I'm glad I went.
Contacted a radio station while in Finland.
Well, here's the thing. Bean will do that wherever he goes.
Yeah, he loves radio stations.
Anywhere.
Except for this one that
he's
on.
Doesn't like us. Doesn't like us or this station. Doesn't like this station or the people he works with, but loves other radio stations and loves other radio people.
Yes.
Any
will go out of his way to spend time with people in radio.
Format, music, none of it matters.
We'll eat with them, lunch, dinner, hang out, play pool, sculpt
dance.
Together, dance class. We'll do anything with other radio people. Can't be bothered to talk to us.
That's correct.
For a moment.
I got to get on KFI. There's got to be a way I can get off this station.
But loves other radio people to, I think, his detriment, to a fault.
Listen, we do those MTV like roundtable things where there are 80 radio stations all sitting in a little area, tables and stuff like that. And we constantly were having to find Bean when a guest would come up because he'd be sitting down with one of the other stations talking about radio.
He's like a kid in a candy store.
Tell me about your microphone. How does it work?
How many AM stations are there in Columbus, New Mexico? Where are you ranked?
He's endlessly fascinated.
So I had the opportunity to be on NRG Radio in Helsinki, Finland while I was there. And I got a chance to hook up with the morning show there, which was, I think it was Mishka and Evelyn, I think was the name of the show.
Mishka and Evelyn do good work.
I think that was the show that was on. And they says, hey, you're out there in Los Angeles. You work at this powerful radio station and you get a chance to interview all the celebrities. Would you mind coming on and we can interview you and talk to you about some of the stuff that you do out there in Hollywood? Because they're fascinated. You know, all around the world, you know, that's our biggest export is entertainment from the United States. So all around the world, they want to know about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and Michael Jackson.
None of those people.
Who's got his finger on the pulse of those people more than Bean?
This is talking to Corey Feldman after Michael died on Larry King for an hour.
But I think if you're in Finland, somebody who has spent a lot of time living and working in Los Angeles,
right,
you feel like they have some stories. There's some stuff that they can tell that will be of interest to the average Finn.
That's that's their initial impression.
Right.
Which turned out, I'm sure, to be wrong.
And when they found out you live and work in a small island in the Pacific Northwest, how did they feel about interviewing you about Los Angeles?
They said, let's do it anyway. So they went, so they asked me to come on and say, hey, we got some questions about some of the celebrities. We want to find out who you've had the opportunity to meet and who you like and who's fun and what kind of cool stuff have you seen and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I'm a gracious host in their country,
sure,
and in their station that, you know, I'll give them, you know,
mean,
give them some time.
You mean
how do I say
guest.
No to that?
You said you're a host.
A guest, right? I'm a guest.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
So how do I say no to that? So I say, yeah, no problem. So they take me into the studio.
Okay,
and
hold on one second. Do you mind if I just stop the story just for a second? Because I'd like to translate.
Okay.
Bean forced his way onto this radio station.
Hey, let me do some radio with you guys. Would that be fun? I know celebrities.
I can tell you all about Lindsay Lohan.
We're
sure. Matlow's friends.
I've talked to them all.
What studio can I be in?
Okay, now back to you.
They invited me in as a guest.
Uh-huh.
So
invite you at gunpoint.
I get into the room with Mishko and Evelyn, and I sit down, and I put on my headset, and the song ends, and they come on, and they go, hey, we have Bean here from the Kevin and Bean Show, and welcome to the show, and I say good morning, and they say, so, tell us about Confess Your Crime.
No! Oh! They did not!
Awesome!
They've done their research.
Oh, my gosh.
People
that's
who have only been listening to the Kevin
heard.
And Bean Show for a short time, it means nothing to you. This was a bit that we got unfairly labeled with 20 years ago that Mark and Brian did. Remember when Jim Ladd killed that guy and then Mark and Brian did the big cover? And somehow, because the internet is confusing, somehow people thought we were involved in that. This is the first and only thing that they cared about and wanted to talk to me about in excruciating detail.
That's
hilarious. The bitch set me up.
That's awesome.
So your history as a prankster and hoaxster preceded you, I guess.
Is that unbelievable?
That
can you imagine?
Is the best thing I've ever heard.
Can you imagine what was going through my head when that was their question out of the gate? Tell me about Confess Your Crime.
Late 1990, maybe early 1991.
90. Because it was before I joined you.
1990.
And everyone told me about it.
Those guys faked somebody's death and got in a lot of trouble.
We wanted to name the rule after us in the FCC law book, but they wouldn't.
No.
And they had all the details. They wanted to talk about the police investigation. And tell me about the community service. You know, they had all those questions. And
did you tell them what we did?
I was just, of course, yeah. So I was just sitting there, and I was just thinking, man, this is what it must be like to be OJ. Doesn't matter what good stuff you do in your life, all they talk about is how you killed that chick. I mean, this is exactly what it's like. You make one mistake in your life, and it follows you for the rest of your life.
And by you make one mistake, you mean Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian made that mistake, yeah. Right. So anyway, so I told them the story, and then, you know, my ass was pretty sore as a result of that interview. But then they let me stick around and play some records and have some fun. So
that's
it was okay after that.
About.
You did
but
the midday shift, I heard.
I stayed on for a little while, but there's no tape. I mean, that's the. I know you guys were bugging
contraire,
me.
Mon frère.
No, they told me that they don't run air checks on that station.
Please.
I mean, I would have loved to have gotten a tape, but there wasn't.
Like, there's a chance Bean could work on a station in Finland and not have them recorded in real time on a CD in his car.
They told me that there was no tape, and I have to believe. I know I didn't walk out with one, and I'm sure that you don't have one either because they didn't make it, is what I'm telling you.
Because it's Finland, it turns out they had to lay it down on vinyl.
Yeah,
but they don't have tape or CD technology there. They have to do it on one of those
8 tracks,
those wax cylinders that Edison used to use to record music. But we got our hands on it because of the internet. We were able to pull.
No, you didn't.
A little an
clips?
Air check, some clips of the air check.
You do not have tape of me on the station in Helsinki.
Of your midday shift.
Come on,
when you were spinning, when you were throwing flames.
Is
as
energy?
Oh yeah.
Electronica.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what they play, man.
You imagine Bean.
Oh, yeah, he was the man.
All right.
Look, since you'll never hear it, I can tell you that I threw down.
Well, we have some clips, and I'd like to play the first one for you now. Yeah. This is Bean now on NRG in Helsinki, Finland.
Energy Nettiradion sinulle tarjoaa meriteollisuus.
You're listening to me, Bean Baxter, on NRJ Radio Finland. 40 minutes nonstop NRJ music coming up, including Michael Rainio, Ilpo Vasainen, and Konsta Mikonen. And when Konsta sings, I constantly want to keep listening.
Okay. Even in Finland, he can't resist the bad puns.
You weren't supposed to know
when
that. Come on.
When a pun comes into his head, he is powerless against it.
He's
How
useless.
Dare you?
All right, here's another clip.
That was Levi and the Leavings
featuring Gösta Sundqvist. And I wonder if he makes any of that Sundqvist orange soda. And, oh, speaking of soda, I wish I had some cherry vanilla Coke. Why don't they make that anymore? Why doesn't Finland have more 7-Elevens? Coming up next, the new rap from Buzz Aldrin.
I tell a story about my time on the moon now. The sky was black even though the sun...
By the way, that song exists.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't hear that.
You didn't? Buzz Aldrin raps a song.
He has a rap about being on the moon now, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the answer is no.
Bean broke the news in Finland.
All right, so that's two clips. I wonder what kind of music they're going to be playing in our third clip.
Hit music only. This is Bean Baxter on NRJ, Radio Finland. If we were in the United States of America, and I did something wrong, but it wasn't international, it was just domestic, then the law enforcement agency that would handle that would be the FBI.
The FBI?
That never gets old.
Wow.
He's torturing them in another country.
Maybe they can export beans.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We will meet another contestant who is vying to be Miss Double December 2011 coming up later this hour. You can go to kevinandbean.com to cast your vote, live broadcast Friday if you want to join us. All the details are there. Plus, Larry King wants to do stand-up. Got that story for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so. How is it possible that Wing, our favorite singer from New Zealand, how is it possible she has a Christmas album out? Didn't she just release Wing Sings for All the Single Ladies?
She has done 18 albums, I think.
Yeah.
She cranks them, man. She cranks them.
Didn't this one that we were playing highlights from just come out like a month ago?
Hello, this is Swing. I'm so happy you are listening to my latest album. All my albums are very nice.
Uh-huh. Nope.
But I believe this is one of the best.
I think so, too.
Listen to this album anytime you want. Put it in your stereo system mm-hmm. when you have a safe party.
Safe party.
Or mm-hmm. listen by yourself right. with your favorite pack. I hope my singing and rapping gives you great happiness, relaxation, and peace.
All right. So she put that album out last month featuring the smash hit All the Single Ladies.
We also asked her what a safe party was, mm-hmm. and that is no alcohol and in bed by 10.
Yeah. That's the best kind of party. No. And I thought, well, that's great that we got the new Wing album, but that's going to have to hold us for a while. And now you're telling me there's a brand new holiday collection
and
that's out?
Bean, for those of you that don't know, is obsessed with Christmas music.
I mean, yes, I am.
He probably has every Christmas song that's ever been made, so this must be super exciting for you.
I can't wait to hear it. Are you kidding me?
We discovered Wing on South Park. And we did some research. We found out she was real. This is one of those people like the Armenian comedian who everybody asks, that has to be a put on. And you go, no, this is the real deal, and we can't believe it either. This is Wing's Christmas EP. And you want to hear a little of Silent Night? Yep.
Yes, I do.
From Wing. By the way, I'm pretty sure she didn't say peace.
She said pee.
She said sleep in heavenly pee, right?
Sleep in heavenly pee.
Yeah, she may not understand the meaning of that song. I don't want to sleep in heavenly pee. I'm not interested. A little White Christmas for you.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to.
The idea that she's not heard any of these songs.
Yes, I
and
do.
Timing wise, she's always off. As far as being on tune, she's always off.
Right.
But you know that she's really, really happy with herself. This is when you come across somebody like this where they have this level of talent, which let's be honest, is not a 10 out of 10. It's a 1 out of 10.
But she's a stylist, though. She's doing her own thing with it. She's not giving another cookie-cutter performance of White Christmas.
Right.
That is true.
She's giving us a terrible version. But her confidence level and her happiness with it is just through the roof. And that's why we're fascinated with her.
But here's the thing I don't get about Wing. If we had never spoken with her, And if I did not know that she is a very competent English speaker, I would think this is somebody who is singing these songs phonetically with no understanding of the words. But she clearly knows what these words are.
Yeah, she's just
but
that
she
bad.
She sings it like it's she's just reading, you know, reading it off a page and doesn't even know what it means.
That's correct. You want to hear a little Hallelujah?
The classic Leonard Cohen song? Yes.
Oh, my God. She nails this one.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I got to be honest. I was in the other room. I shed a tear. I mean, that really, that one, I really started crying. That was so nice.
Soul in that.
Was this produced by our pal, Raffy McRapperson?
I don't know, but I imagine so.
Because if so, we've got to get him on and we've got to congratulate him on listening to that take of Hallelujah and then giving her the thumbs up and going, nailed it.
I don't know this song, Christmas Today. Maybe you do, Bean, or maybe it's an original. I don't know. Christmas.
Sounds like a new one.
Christmas Today by Wing.
Wing, a wrap to the beef. Yes, a Christmas tree, the dove of peace. The rich people had a big feast.
What? Something about rich people and fists. I don't know what that was.
Elevating fists, I thought. I don't know. Somewhere Yoko Ono is really ticked off that somebody's biting her act.
No kidding. What happened? Because I think we're missing the best song ever.
Oh, no.
Well, I had Omar cut one out, and I think I told him to cut the wrong one out. We need Santa on a Helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really, I mean, this one is unbelievable because she takes time to tell the story, the updated story of Santa Claus.
His Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter.
Right.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Okay.
Santa Claus on a helicopter.
Oh, that's great.
Santa Claus on a helicopter.
See, because the old song, I mean, that was really outdated.
Yeah.
He doesn't use a sleigh anymore. It's just not efficient. You have to have a helicopter.
Santa Claus, he visited us today. December 24.
Is this rapping or is it singing?
It's
or is
rapping.
It spoken word?
I think it's spoken word.
All right.
Wow, it's coming right now in a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Right, you already said that.
He lives in the family.
This might be too much detail. He lands in the front yard
of a nursery. Oh, the baby's time for moms. He fits them well if they are.
Don't say what he does.
That's bad.
Wait, did he do that to the mom or to the babies who were crying?
I don't know.
Let's listen to that again.
Oh, the baby's time for moms. Okay. He fits them well if they are hungry.
He does what if they're hungry?
You heard her.
I think I heard what I thought she said, but that can't be right. What did she really say, though?
I'm guessing that there's feeding involved. That word, however, was not used.
Nope.
Is it possible that she said he first asks if they are hungry?
Maybe.
First, maybe, instead of, okay.
Let's go with it.
Let's go with that. Because if not, then we got a big problem on our hands.
Then he returned to the helicopter and makes a big landing in the city. Dance! Santa dance!
What? Dance!
Helicopter dance!
Dance,
helicopter dance?
Yeah.
Is that what she's saying?
What is going on?
Does the helicopter dance?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Dance! Santa Claus dance!
Look, he's giving us gifts. You need him to dance too? Take it easy on him.
Yeah, I love the music, by the way. I love the music.
Follow Santa. He's playing a flute.
Now he's playing a flute.
Follow Santa. Take the secret flute to the church to place the law.
Okay, stop. That was something about the terrorist? Tell the terrorist to
stop
the
breaking
law?
The law.
What does the terrorist have to do with Santa and his flute?
I don't know. Let's figure that one out again. I'm very confused by this story.
Follow Santa. Get the secret food to the church to pass the law. Or the children follow Santa down the road.
I think he goes to the church to place the log.
Oh.
Witch's code.
Sons and daughters, but if you are silly, you can walk. Santa take you to a helicopter. Santa Claus.
She just ran out of time for the verse. And then if you're not asleep, then you can't go to the helicopter. Santa Claus.
On the helicopter.
That's the best song I've ever heard.
Santa Claus.
Wow. Oh, then some more.
Oh, my God. You can go to wingmusic.co.nz, by the way, if you want to buy. Very few of Wing's songs are available on iTunes, by the way. All the singles ladies is. But you can also go to her website and get a wingtone. If you want to make Santa on a helicopter your wingtone for the holidays on your phone, you can do that, too. Let's try to get let's try to get Rappy on maybe tomorrow and talk about recording this album and see if we can decipher some of those lyrics with him. He may be our answer.
I would just like to rule out the word fist. I would just like to.
I'd feel better about that as well.
By the way, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Bean Morning Show, it's the return of Dave, the King of Mexico, who took today off because he's went to Chicago over the weekend to follow Paramore and No Doubt. He promised us he would come back with an interview with Hayley Williams from Paramore. We'll find out on tomorrow morning show whether that actually happened over the weekend or not. He made it sound like he was going to propose and they were going to run off together. I don't even know what
plans
he had.
He's been saying that forever, and I'm guessing not. But we'll find out tomorrow.
I would be surprised if he got Barry Williams interviewed.
Ralph, I'm a little bit concerned about the topic you are about to discuss here.
This story has been stretched way out of proportion.
It hasn't, first of all. It hasn't even been told yet.
I know, but I did mention it in the office, and I think the reaction I got was out of whack in terms of.
Do you mind if I give the headline?
Their headline is misleading.
No, it isn't.
No, it's
the headline is accurate. Here's the headline to the story.
All right.
Ralph Garman drinks his own pee.
See? Again, that is misleading because it sounds as if it's some sort of health practice I engage in on a regular basis when you say it that way. You say, Ralph Garman drinks his own pee. It makes it sound like it's part of my health regimen or something.
All right, I'll change
like you're Nick Nolte or something, trying to stay alive forever.
Exactly.
Right? All right, I'll change it.
I do it before I get in my hyperbaric chamber.
Ralph Garman drank his own pee.
There you go.
That's disturbing enough for me, but go ahead.
But it's certainly not voluntary.
How much are you out of alcohol at your house that you're reduced to drinking human urine?
The thing is, my urine is 40 proof.
That's true.
How good it is.
That's true.
No, I was driving in my car.
Yeah.
And I had a bottle of water in one of my cup holders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving along, and I'm on the freeway, so I'm keeping my eye on traffic, and I reach for the bottle of water, and I start drinking. And at that moment, a series of images flashed through my mind like I was Chuck on that show on NBC, and I had the Intersect computer in my brain. Everything started to flash and come together in one split second for me to take that sip. Everything in the past 3 days fell into place for me in terms of what happened.
So in that one second, let me back you saw the story
up. Yeah, let me back up what happened in that millisecond, how my mind processed what I was doing and what had happened.
Okay.
Flashback 3 days, I was going into a store, and I had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And I had to relieve myself, but I didn't have access to the proper facility.
The store didn't have a bathroom?
No.
Okay.
And I had been in the store before and known I had asked before to use their bathroom, and they said, I'm sorry, you cannot use the bathroom. So I knew I was going to run into trouble.
Okay.
And I happened to have in my car at the time an empty water bottle from water that I had previously ingested that day.
Okay.
So I take the water bottle, mm-hmm. and I fill the water bottle as a source of relief for me.
Mm-hmm.
I screw the cap back on tightly, and I put it in my cup holder, and I say, when I clean out my car and throw the rest of this stuff, I got some papers on the floor and stuff, I'll just throw that in the trash.
So you left. But you didn't put a neon label on it or anything that said, reminder, Ralph, do not drink me.
Yeah, I was all out of neon labels there inside the car. I just really just said, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Unless it's a Gatorade bottle, it's not big enough for me, but go ahead.
Well, there's ways around that kind of thing. So I go into the store, and I go about my business. I go shopping, and then days pass, and I hadn't gotten around to cleaning out my car.
So days passed, yes. And that's still in your car.
Yes.
Ew.
What else is in your car?
kind of a slob are you?
Just some trash.
To the ceiling?
But look, I wasn't panicked about it. It's not radioactive or anything. I didn't need to put on a hazmat suit and dispose of it in some sort of, you know, lead-lined container.
No, but don't it sealed. It was sealed in a bottle.
It was tightly sealed with the cap on. It was just sitting there.
But don't you want to get it out of your car?
Yeah, but it's not on my mind. It's not preying heavy on my mind. Like, I must get to this.
Maybe it should have been.
When I got to it, I figured I'd get to it.
All right.
It was no rush.
You got to it one sip at a time is how you got to it.
But it is. So, it's fermenting at this point into wine. Right?
Flash forward
3 days.
Those 3 days. I grab the bottle of the drink. I open up the cap. I was driving in my car. I was going into a store. I had to
go to the bathroom.
So I knew I was going to run into trouble. An empty water bottle.
Go to the bathroom.
I had to
go to the bathroom.
An empty water bottle. I screw the cap back on tightly. And I put it in my cup holder. And I say, well, I think I'm in my car. And throw the rest of this stuff. I got some papers on the floor. So I'll just throw that. I'll just throw that. I had to. Everything for the past 3 days home to place for me.
What the hell is that smell / taste?
Ew.
And then, as I said, all of the preceding 3 days in a compressed millisecond flashed through my mind. And I knew exactly what I had done.
Wow. Mm.
And so I
did you finish
spit
it?
Spit it back into the bottle.
Did you finish
but
it?
But that didn't help. It didn't make a difference. And it had been sitting in the hot sun in my car for about 3 days.
Ew.
So gross.
It was
not good?
Well rancid by that point.
I hope you sealed it back up, put it back in the car, figuring you'll throw it away one day.
I want to hold on to it until it becomes a solid. That's what I'm shooting for.
And then one day when you're hungry.
Daniel Tosh is in our studio here this morning. He is the host of Tosh.0, which, by the way, I'd like to just go on record as saying it's a terrible title for a show. I have a lot of trouble pronouncing it, just so you know.
It's a Me great show.
I'm having a great show. Uh-huh. Tough title.
Well, I appreciate you waiting this long to hit me with that. I did not pick the title. It was it's supposed to, I guess, like be 2.0.
Yeah,
like
we get it. We understand
right,
it.
No, I didn't understand it. They had to explain it to me.
Who came up with it? I want a name.
Eddie Gosling.
Eddie, you don't do good work.
Eddie, you're going down. It's great to get the behind-the-scenes stories on some of these videos. And we started to talk before the break about Chris Crocker, the famous Leave Britney Alone guy. And he was one of the most famous viral clips of all time that you decided, hey, I want to have this guy on, find out what makes him tick, and see what we could do for him next. Now, do people generally say yes when you ask them to come on, or do most people kind of want to stay away from revisiting that
sure.
moment?
Most of them immediately say no. They assume that you're not serious, that you're not a real TV show. Hopefully, with it being on the air now for a month, that people will start to say yes. The grape stomp lady refuses to come on our show.
She's got nerve.
I think she'll say yes.
You had the giant woman that fell off the table. I like that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
We had her good. Scarlet. Who else has said no? Boom Goes the Dynamite Kid, who, by the way, just got fired from his local news show in Texas.
He never got any better, by the way. People who thought, oh, that was a sad moment and we picked on him too much, but at least he grew from it and became a better broadcaster. That guy sucked till the day he lost his last job.
I think there's still a chance that he can turn it around.
No, nope, not a chance.
How about Tay Zonday? Have you caught up with him?
No. Not yet. I mean, listen.
Is it hard to track these people down?
Of course. And one of the reasons Comedy Central said yes to me doing the show is that it's five people. I mean, this is the cheapest show Comedy Central's ever put on the air.
Okay.
And so it's basically us Facebooking people. Hey, will you come on our TV show?
Wow.
So there is a little credibility problem.
Have you tried to get the stars of Two Girls, One Cup on your show?
No.
I believe they're out of Brazil if you'd like to try and track them down.
No, we have not.
Right, we have a clip of
we have the horse from Mr. Hand's video.
We have a clip of you and Chris Crocker came in and you were trying to help him out.
Maybe if you were a little more masculine, mm-hmm. it would be a little more intimidating. When you're telling people to leave someone alone.
But yeah. Butch it up a little bit.
Leave Britney alone!
Like that?
Well, no. That was terrifying.
So he does the video and you hit him with a bat. That may have been one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, honestly.
And then you choked him out. And that was, I mean, that for my money is entertainment.
I know. I couldn't figure a way to wrap up that bit.
Like, choke him out is a good wrap-up for any bit.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
It feels good.
By the way, he wasn't under the sheet when I did the choke out.
Yes,
what?
He was.
It was a TV trick?
No,
come on.
He wasn't. That was Nathan, who is my friend, is a little person. By the way, I have no problem saying LP.
Right. But do you use the M word in front of Nathan?
I don't.
Really?
I don't. And when you meet a little person for the first time, it's considered proper etiquette to tousle their hair a little.
Is it? I didn't know, I wasn't aware of that, but good.
Mike brought up a name for midgets that I had not heard before. Mike, what was it you called them?
People God Forgot to Finish.
That seems like a longer name.
It's long, yeah. People McNuggets is the other one, but we might need some euphemisms to help us take the place of the M word.
Okay, I have a question, and I'm a little nervous to even ask this because I don't want anyone to question my masculinity, because I'm a very masculine person, as you know.
Sure.
But I thought that Chris Crocker was kind of hot as a woman. What did you guys think?
He looked good.
I mean, I think he looked better as a woman than he does as a boy.
In the category,
any thoughts?
In the category of people who are guys that dress like girls,
mm-hmm.
he may be one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
He is young.
Yeah.
Sure, that helps.
That does help.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's really young. So
baby face.
Sure. But he lives in the mountains of Tennessee.
Right.
How do you think that goes over?
You mean his gayness? His
just
ridiculous level of gayness?
Exactly.
Yeah, poorly.
I mean, because that's a 9 in Miami or San Francisco.
Right.
You're in the mountains of Tennessee walking around like that? That's it. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
This country's come a long way.
Yeah,
but
he's
not
a very brave young man.
Not that far. Now, did you take him for a spin? You know, if you know what I'm talking about.
No,
okay,
no, no.
Just checking.
I'm totally into chicks.
Okay.
Oh.
You love chicks a lot?
Woo!
Yeah.
Love them.
Daniel Tosh is here. We're talking about Tosh.0 Thursdays at 10 on Comedy Central. Here's a clip that you put together with Heidi and Spencer, who are two of our favorite targets as well.
We're here today with reality superstars Heidi and Spencer. Heidi, I have to say, in person, you look like complete
I know.
It must be hard being that stupid. How do you manage?
She manages herself. I'm like a secretary.
Like a co-manager.
I like to take notes for her.
I hate you, Spencer. Who at this point doesn't think you two should be buried alive?
Probably just us.
Heidi, you've had your boobs, nose, and chin done.
Yeah.
Ballpark. How much do you think it would cost to make you actually look pretty?
I don't know. I heard it's like a third of your yearly salary.
Did one of you your pants?
I mean, maybe.
Somebody
you could get them on your show, by the way. They
yeah,
would
could.
Do any show.
You say that, but Bob Saget said no to doing our show.
He did what?
Oh!
I know. Oh, we wanted him to do a clip, like to throw to a funny animal clip. Like, here's the king of making fun of, like, animal bloopers.
I see. Right, yeah, yeah. I don't think he wants to relive that part of his life.
But it was such a, like, an endearing way to do it. It was just like one set. He was like, no, no, thank you.
Well, he's a dick. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. More Miss Double D's on the way. The 45-minute, was it 45 minutes? How long was it? Hour and a half, Britney Spears.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half.
It was 90 minutes of watching Britney talk on MTV last night.
Highlights coming up. Harvey Levin is coming up. But first, it's time to talk about dangerous toys. This is the story that comes out every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's always put out by the same people, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, and they put out their list of dangerous toys.
How is it that manufacturers of toys don't learn year to year about these lists and don't go, hey, you know what? Before we release this one to the stores, maybe we ought to think about small parts that kids could take out and swallow. Maybe
I
we ought to not make this toy, because it does seem like a lot of the offenders are guilty of the same thing every year that makes the toy too dangerous to sell.
It does, but then you hear about things that you never in a million years would think were dangerous.
Right.
But they test it in a variety of ways, and they come up with things that really could hurt kids. Sometimes it's really surprising.
And it's that time of year now that we have to start, shopping for toys and whatnot. So we've got William Barber on the phone. William is a spokesperson from Watch. What does Watch stand for, William?
Good morning, Kevin and Bane. How are you?
We're very good.
Watch stands for World Against Toys Causing Harm.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
We're a nonprofit organization. And we're consumer watchdogs, don't you know?
Yes, we do. Now, what about the question I asked Mr. Barber before we brought you on? How is it that toy companies are consistently making the same mistake year after year?
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to be a toy company these days because you're competing against so much for the consumer dollar for entertaining children.
Sure.
So certainly. I think they just try to come up with the most entertaining toys they can. And then they find out after the fact there's a danger.
Now, number one on your list this year, sir, is the inflatable Gigaball, which looks like something that, is this something that a little kid crawls inside and then is able to bounce down a hill in?
That's right. It's a big ball. You crawl inside, and then you roll down a hill inside it.
Wow.
Which is great until you roll into traffic.
It does seem like a problem.
And then you get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not something that we want.
You don't want people killed?
Not children.
Yeah. Okay.
Some adults.
Yeah.
But not children.
Okay. All right.
Are there anything, some things on this list in particular that you'd like to highlight for our listeners in the time we have, sir?
Well, the list, we only had room for 10.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things like the Meadow Mystery Play a Sound Book with Cuddly Pooh.
Yeah, that's a real one, right?
That's
number
a real
eight.
One. Don't give poo to your kids.
Because I'm sure people think there's no way that is actually a toy. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And also, the other one is the Sportsman Shotgun.
There is that.
That's actually on the list. That's the name of a toy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That should be a tip-off right away, I think.
If it has shotgun in the title?
Unless you're shopping at Toys R Us in Palm Desert.
Well,
you
okay.
You should be buying the Sportsman Shotgun. But we didn't have room for everything on the list, so I have some others I want to hit real quick.
Okay.
Just keep your eye out for these and don't buy them.
All
They're
right.
dangerous.
Very important.
The Twilight Junior Suck Me Life Like Fang. I know the kids love the Twilight, but you don't want them biting into the jugular veins of other children.
Wow.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Dangerous, yeah.
Also, you want to stay away from the Fisher-Price Little Moyle Neighborhood Circumcision Kit. Encourages kids to go around give another kid circumcision.
That seems like that's not fun in any way.
And dangerous.
And very dangerous.
Certainly, yes.
You also want to stay away from the Iron Man Tony Stark My New Heart flashlight, where kids implant a flashlight in their chest.
Well, you know, they see it in the movie. It looks like fun. Why not, right?
You don't become a superhero, though.
Yeah.
You just bleed out.
Just the opposite. Yeah.
You want to stay away from Foamy, the rabid dog.
Foamy?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a mechanical dog. You turn him on and he attacks you.
Well, that seems like a horrible toy.
He's rabid. He foams at the mouth and bites your hand off.
Oh, that's a terrible toy for
don't
kids.
Don't buy Foamy.
Don't get it.
You want to stay away from the Plaxico Burris My New York Nightlife Playset.
What's involved in that?
A handgun. Yes. And a bottle of vodka.
And you have to shoot yourself in the leg? That's the idea?
That's usually the end result.
Yeah.
You want to stay away from the Amy Winehouse edition of Guitar Hero.
Oh, no.
It's just a box of syringes. Not even a game in there.
Really?
I was disappointed.
Wow.
I'm sure you were.
And stay away from the Razor Scooter.
The Razor Scooter?
Yes.
That's
what's wrong with that?
Tested
yeah.
toy. That was fine.
This year they're making it out of actual razors.
Oh.
The entire thing. It's sharp. Sharp as a razor.
That seems bad.
You'll cut your foot off if you try to ride it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm saying don't buy that one.
All right.
And especially Foamy.
Especially Foamy the dog.
Yes.
All right. You do good work. Thank you, William.
Happy holidays, everybody.
First, though, some unfinished business. And do not worry. Do not reach for your radio dial. We are not going to talk about Michael Jackson. That's behind us. But you know what's not behind us?
Right.
The bill. How much it cost the city of Los Angeles to host the Michael Jackson funeral and memorial the other day.
And you know who's paying for it? You and I.
Yeah.
That's right.
$1.4 million is what it came out to.
Yay!
Now, California is a state that has been sending out IOUs for the tax refunds.
And laying off people.
And laying off people, yeah.
Closing down courts on alternate Fridays and
Bean,
all
do you know
of
the?
Things.
Do you know how much California is in debt?
All. I don't know, but it's, you know, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. They certainly couldn't afford something like this. But as we talked about earlier in the week, what do you do? If somebody dies and they have a memorial service, as the police, you kind of do have to provide crowd control. You don't have much choice. But you would think that either the record companies involved or Michael Jackson's family or AEG, who runs the Staples Center, you think that somebody would step up and pay for it. Well, that has not been the case. So the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, is going directly to the public. There's a PayPal link. They want you, the fine citizens of L.A., to contribute. And we've got the mayor on the phone with us right now to tell us more about this controversial program. Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
You sound a little down.
Even your gun sounds down.
It's true.
What's wrong?
We're in a lot of debt, man.
Right.
We know.
We are a lot of Chick-fil-A. Who wants Chick-fil-A?
Oh, he's selling Chick-fil-A to raise money.
Are you at the border? Where are you?
You guys want a bacon-wrapped hot dog?
No. Well, look, that I got. Yes, I do, but that's not going to raise $1.4 million to reimburse the city for how much it costs for the memorial.
I'm trying the best I can. I'm trying to do whatever I can to raise money for the city, but do it honestly, you know?
Mr.
I mean, because obviously, you know, I can make a lot of money real quickly, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm trying to go straight in there and do it in an honest manner.
Okay.
You know?
Well, let me ask you this question. Why would you only put out the word through Twitter? Why wouldn't you, I don't know, hold a press conference or get interviewed by the news?
Know, I figure out that the internet is like a good way to communicate with my constituent.
Right, right.
Be accessible, you know? But I even got my own eBay auction of stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's www.ebay.com/Jack.
How do you spell that?
eBay?
Yeah. No.
E-B-A-Y.
Right, slash, and then how do you spell J?
Oh, no, you spell it like normal. Y-A-Y-E-A-H. J.
Oh, that's what that is.
Oh, you mean yeah. You mean yeah.
Okay.
All right. I know that you're asking people to donate through the city's PayPal page, and that's not going so well, but what are you selling on eBay to raise money?
Let's see. You can get a tattoo from the mayor. I do a personal tattoo for you.
You actually tattoo someone.
You can send me your gold.
Are you
I'll melt it down and you give you cash for your gold.
Okay, but then how does the state make any money?
Can you guys hold on one sec?
Yeah.
Hey, man, come here. Hey, come here real quick, man.
What do you want?
Hey, man, what time is it, man? What time is it? Right? Hey, give me that. Ow!
Yeah,
give me a shoe, sir. Wallet. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
You can't just roll a guy and steal his wallet, Mr. Mayor.
We are about $75 less in debt. Right now.
Please try.
That's going to take you a long time.
I was yesterday, I heard you can raise some money at a sperm bank.
Right.
So I took the Raiders media guide and some lube. Made us about $80.
Okay.
Guys, I'm really sorry. If you hold on one more moment.
Okay. What now? What's going on now?
Ma'am, come here.
What do you want?
Can you come here real quick?
Okay.
That's a very nice blouser. Give me a purse.
No!
Mr. Mayor. I want to hit a woman, but I'll slap you, guys.
Mr. Sorry. Mayor. You
no,
can't.
Come on.
Give me
no.
Give me that purse.
You can't raise. Mr. Mayor.
This is awful.
Do that?
Stop crying, bitch. Huh?
You can't mug women on the street.
I was mugging. I was,
You were
no,
mugging.
No,
and slapping.
How many people do you have to mug
and
slap?
I'm doing a play in the park.
You're not.
It's Othello.
Does anyone else know that?
No. It's rehearsing.
Why don't you sound like this when you talk on TV?
Shut up, asshole.
Okay.
You answer that every time.
All right.
I told you why.
Okay.
All right. Now, look. Like I said, all I'm going to do is really focus on getting money back into the city.
But you said legitimately.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just doing a play in the park.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut. All right. Last time, I promise you. Stop your car. Come here. Stop your
car.
Hey, get out of the street.
Hold on. Come here. Yeah. Give me the car.
What are you doing?
You're not carjacking.
Oh, no. Mr. Mayor. Oh, my God.
Mr. Mayor.
Woo!
You can't.
Hey!
How much is that car worth?
Oh, at least $80,000. All right!
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hey, we know those dudes.
Yeah.
Come on.
We should have them in.
Yeah.
You know? I like
that.
Well, how
idea.
About Brian and Nikki right now in the studio from Silver Sun Magical. Pickups? How about that?
Magical.
How are you guys?
Hi.
Amazing.
How are you? You guys look good.
Thanks.
Bean, you're looking amazing.
You guys look good.
You
he lied.
Bean, you look taller.
Taller than you would think, right?
I'm just sitting up in my chair.
That's good.
First of all, great to see you guys again. What a summer you had since the last time we saw you. You guys have been go.
Yeah. I think
you've been everywhere and you've done everything.
It's actually nice to come back in here because it sort of was bookended.
Yeah.
We're
like
back in Los Angeles again. And
what are highlights that stick out in your mind? I mean, you had so many big shows, you know, doing Lollapalooza and things that. I mean,
that
so many things. What did you look back on and go, wow?
LA Fires were a highlight.
Yes.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Good times.
You know, we were glad to be here. We were here for a couple of days and we were glad to have lived through that. Yeah.
to enjoy the smoke.
I love the natural disasters.
Came here and just inhaled deeply.
I feel sad if we were gone, you know?
Sure. You don't want to miss it. It's exciting.
It's a group experience.
Yeah. I remember, you know, the remember very topical. 94 earthquake.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Really
very topical stuff.
Were you here for that as well?
I was spending the night at my friend's house in Northridge.
Oh,
excellent.
Nice.
And his dad was, I don't want to think ill, but I think he was a dance instructor, so he put mirrors everywhere.
Oh.
And so I remember going to sleep on my friend's couch and waking up and seeing myself. and falling back down.
In pieces.
It picked me up and threw me against the wall.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
Oh, you're not a storm chaser, are you? I mean, you don't go.
I guess we are. We really love it.
There's a tornado. We got to get to Oklahoma right away.
I know those storm chasers. I just saw.
We just saw that movie.
We saw Twister.
That topical movie.
Sure. Well, this is going to be very, very. Kids really pay attention. This is a history
lesson. What year did you guys fly in from this morning?
you guys don't know what it's like in America right now. I'm telling you. It's nice to be back in 2009. So, no, we went and saw Twister at this movie theater in Toledo. No, okay. Just kidding. It was on cable. There's a line.
On cable?
And you know, this whole... and I saw a storm chaser TV show, and I just can't find the drama in it, you know, because I'm like, well, you're chasing storms.
That's because you do it for real life.
Because you're chasing storms.
You know? Right, don't do that.
Like, and then you won't. Well, no.
You're going towards this.
You're going towards it.
You saw the story of the balloon boy.
Oh,
the
yeah.
He apparently used to have his kids sleep in their clothes in case there was a storm so that they could jump and run and go see it.
Wow.
Yeah, that seems bad.
And who'd have thought it all?
They're like the kid version of you.
Yeah, pretty much. That balloon. That was a sad day.
Oh, that was the best. Are you kidding?
That was the best.
Everybody was 1,000% concerned, and then like that, 1,000% angry.
It was literally like
we were
that.
In the bus. It was in Toronto.
We were in Toronto. So we were with a bunch of Canadians, and they're like, "You Americans with your kids in wells.
You're wacky.
Now they're airborne." And I think Canada had a bunch of like rockets ready just in case it flew up in a Canadian airspace.
Sure.
Like,
we're
blowing that thing down.
Sweet. So I get the impression, based on how all over the map your story is, that that's essentially what you've been doing, is touring the continent since the last time we saw you.
Yeah.
We just got back from New Orleans yesterday.
We were in New Orleans
the Voodoo
for
Festival?
Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Awesome. Tell us about that. You'd never been to New Orleans before, I heard.
Never, no. And I've been there.
What'd you think?
We've been there personally, but not as a band. And
right.
It was incredible. I mean, I guess Halloween really is the time. I mean, they don't take it seriously there. That's the thing. There's just not enough people dressed up and walking around.
Yeah.
Bars close at like 1 a.m. and there's nowhere to eat.
Nowhere to drink.
It's really bad.
That is the problem with New Orleans.
I did think, though, you know, they have those really goofy drinks called Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking, too soon, guys.
Yeah.
Too soon,
I don't think it's a joke. I haven't had those for a while.
I know.
They actually had those before Katrina.
Come on.
So.
Didn't they change like the Washington Bullets to the Wizards? I mean,
well, all right. I can see that.
Came up three times.
Can we just call it a Midori Sour and end there?
What is happening right now?
I don't know, but we're going to take this interview and then we're going to diagram it with footnotes for the listeners so they get any of the references that you need.
Is this live or are we repeating for the late 90s?
This is recorded.
It's recorded. Okay, I didn't realize that. All right.
This is recorded.
Yeah, those are like Washington Bullets, man. There's something else.
It's like Dennis Miller when he was doing that.
You guys are looking forward to being on the road for another 10 years so you can see this year's movies.
I can't wait to see this year's
movies.
Yeah, we saw Jennifer's Body.
Okay, that's worth it.
That came out this year, right?
And?
Yeah, something topical.
And?
Yeah, that was a movie,
Yes, it was a movie.
That was a movie.
District 9, okay. Wow, you guys are up on
Nick,
some
stuff. You're going to go see movies.
Yeah.
That's what you've been doing. It's
while you're watching Balloon Boy.
I was glued to Balloon Boy while you were going to museums and movies, and I think I won.
I do too.
Because
ultimately more interesting.
Because you knew the ending, and we didn't.
I'm
telling you, that's the real deal.
How do you guys travel? You in a bus?
Yeah,
we're in a bus.
What's that like?
It is
confining.
I mean, has it become home to you? Do you actually miss it now when you're not in the bus, or is it something you hate and you dread every time you've got to start up another leg of the tour?
Too soon to talk about it since we just left.
Yeah, you know what? I don't miss it at all. Do you, Nikki?
Yeah, not yet.
Like, you know, you enjoy it and you get kind of excited and you jump on the couch.
Here's what you
open the refrigerator door twice. Like, look at this, a fridge, and wow, there's a bathroom. And then the next day you maybe do it once, and then you slowly.
Here's what you
it.
Do is you go back out on tour in a van, like to go.
We have.
And then
that's how we rolled in today.
And you know, last time we were in a van, we were actually quite excited because there was a hotel. I'm like, wow, this is kind of nice.
What's the furthest you've had to go between cities to play in the bus or the van? Like you get off the gig, it's 1 a.m. and you go, all right, guys, we've got 900 miles. We got to go to play tomorrow night.
There was a snowstorm in Texas once, and then we had a drive to Portland.
In the bus.
From Texas?
We put in the address in the GPS, and we were already late to it when we started out. It's like 28 hours.
GPS said, F you.
Yeah.
It was already like, you're late for
recalculating.
Soundcheck.
Recalculating. That was a while ago when we were doing I think we were chasing around Wolf Mother. Remember, we were in a van. They were in a bus. In a bus, you kind of don't know anything anymore. You don't know where you are. You wake up and you try and guess what state it is. But that
no
one,
idea.
That was a very good example of how funny things were, because that was our first time we did David Letterman, and he taped it. It was a Monday, and it was airing on Friday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So while it was airing, we were caught in a storm and trying to get from Dallas to Portland, Oregon as fast as possible and driving white knuckle, and things were sliding off, and it was just crazy.
Ah, showbiz,
like,
huh?
Yeah, it's a 36-hour drive to catch Wolf Mother, who flew, of course.
Of course. And so, of course they did.
Right when Letterman hit, there was a bunch of friends here in Los Angeles having parties and stuff for us, and they would call us on the phone like, yeah, it's amazing. You guys and we're freezing in this van like, oh, my God.
Trying not to die.
You're like, you guys are doing so well. What are you doing now?
Like,
I can't feel
in
my
back.
Face. Yeah, we're crying.
Because they think you're big rock stars now that they've seen you on Letterman. They don't know you're just like, clinging to life.
Yeah, they're like, you're being so... Yeah, clinging to life. Yeah. I was like, there's another car that just exploded.
Yeah, we saw a pickup right in front of us just sliding off the road, and we were going like 20 miles an hour.
All right, that's entertaining. Now you're getting somewhere.
Luckily, it was just Dallas to Portland.
No big deal.
Yeah. Seems simple.
This is Silver Sun Pickups. By the way, we have Brian and Nikki in our studio today. Joe and Chris, I guess, were smart enough to sleep in,
right? They're setting up right over there.
They're just in the other room. Okay, good.
Those guys?
So you're going to be performing in a minute, and you're going to be playing tomorrow night at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City. This is an interesting lineup with you, Dandy Warhols. I guess there's a locals-only stage that's going to have – I love the band name of the Flying Tourbillon Orchestra. I have not heard them yet, but what a great band name that is.
That is a good one. I think Dandy Fever is playing as well.
Yes. Oh, I love them. They're so awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, tickets are, if they're available, they're at Ticketmaster.com if you want to check it out. That's going to be tomorrow night at the Gibson. And so, like I mentioned, you did...
Or the Universal Amphitheater.
Yes.
I always get confused for
people. Oh, that's right. You won't start calling into the Gibson until 2020.
That's right. Give me some time, man.
But we'll give away a pair of tickets if you want to go to that show. If you want to see Silver Sun Pickups up close tomorrow night, you can call now 1-800-520-1067. And you guys are going to play a couple for us here this morning?
Yeah, you got it.
Fantastic. Sounds great.
Live music, Silver Sun Pickups, next on the Kevin and Bean.
Now I'm a little bit nervous about the Silver Sun Pickups performance, Kevin. Brian and Nikki just found out we elected a black guy president, and they're devastated.
Wait, so no way, really?
Yeah. I hated to be the one to tell you, but it was in all the papers. We thought you knew.
Oh, that's insane.
All right, Silver Sun Pickups.
So Carter lost?
Come on, how about a rim shot for that?
There you go.
Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, tomorrow night as part of the LA 101 show. Silver Sun Pickups are here. We love these guys. They are a local band made good. It's always great to have them on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you going to play for us first here?
Substitution, it's called.
Let's do it.
It's a little song we wrote in 1975. Perching right off screen, then it's bitter, whispers, chaotic things. Then the waves turn crack into bully. It's so easy to see, everyone can agree. Stop and listen to me. Well, I know you've heard it before, but then it wasn't enough. You don't want to be held back. Substitution. Well, I know you've seen this before. Let now enough is too much. You don't want to be set back when the substitution comes. Sorry. You're a man. Strings come from above. It may seem too deep to recover from. There's a reason to say everyone can agree. Just let it go. Well, I know you've heard it before, but then it wasn't enough. You don't want to be held back from the substitution. Well, I know you've seen this before.
Mr. Great Downfall, you go overthrow, shoot them down, it'll make you soar. When reactions turn into hurricanes, then the middle ground seems a little tame. Where the bowl of empty is all the same. Looks so easy to see, everyone can agree, you're not to blame. I know you've heard it before, but then it wasn't enough. You don't want to be held back from the substitution. I know you've seen this before. Let now enough is too much. You don't want to be set back when the substitution comes.
That's your Silver Sun Pickups live here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Yvonne Cardoza. She just won tickets for the LA 101 show tomorrow night at the Gibson. By the way, only $25, Kevin, to see that show with all those bands tomorrow night. How sweet is that?
That is shockingly undervalued.
I'm getting me a couple tickets.
Yeah.
You guys sound so great acoustic, too.
It helps when it's really nice like it is right now. With you guys.
Yeah.
It helps with the warmth.
Yeah, sure. You can feel the warmth.
You guys give.
There's a loving moment going on right now.
Yeah. I'm a little sad.
I was reading in an MTV interview, I think, about you playing Rock Band. Is that true? You can't do it?
Oh, no, man, no.
It's so hard.
You know, when you got all those colors coming at you like that, it's like, where's that orange one going? Where's that orange one going? I have no idea.
People who actually have musical talent have trouble with that game. I have no musical talent. I can play pretty well.
Are you pretty good?
Well, all right.
I can get on the drums, you know, because I don't know how to play drums very well. So I can get on the drums and play really rigidly and
sure.
But when Christopher plays it, I think you want to naturally play to the song.
Right,
you
know? Sure. But you can't. You have to follow them.
You have to literally go. I tried a Rush song once on Difficult, and I think it's literally the drums.
Really?
There's like a gong thing you had to put on the back and
Now, do you have trouble with the guitar parts? Is that difficult for you?
Yeah. It's kind of hard.
Because you actually play the color and it starts.
I just don't know where that fifth color is. That's where it would be. I always thought that'd be a fun job, though. Don't you think? Like, okay. Today we have this Radiohead song, and I need it in five colors by tomorrow.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of pressure. A fifth color. What do I do with this?
Oh, my God.
Silver Sun Pickups are here performing live. You got to do another one for us?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, ready?
Now?
Okay.
I'm all set.
You all set, Nikki?
You guys all set?
Are you nervous?
A little.
Oh,
I can't hear that well.
You guys know that we're on the air, right?
Oh, okay. Awkward. One, two, three, four.
floating away, waiting, fading, floating away, waiting, fading, floating away, waiting, fading, floating.
That's as quickly as I've ever heard the crowd start cheering.
By
the way, I couldn't help but noticing
Christopher
on the drums was playing his leg. You guys can't get an extra drum for him?
Well, economy's bad.
What's that? Budget cuts?
Budget cuts.
There was parts of the song where there were no cymbals, but he was still playing his right thigh or left thigh. Really, it looked like it was painful.
We have a lot of leg movement in this band.
You do.
We like to use all of our limbs.
Okay, well.
You can't see Joe has his pump organ right here.
What are we talking about
now?
It's an organ. It's an actual organ. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about the keyboard, too, if you like. that thing is a...
It is a. It's great to have these guys home. Please go see them tomorrow night for just $25.
You guys,
Gibson Amphitheater. Yes.
Is it true that at tomorrow's show you're going to play Thriller from beginning to end? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Except
it.
It's just that we're interpreting it. Really, it's going to sound a lot like our song. But if you,
they might not even recognize it.
If you pay attention,
okay,
it's Thriller.
Well, you guys are the best. Again, Silver Sun Pickup.
The best.
You're the best. You're
the
in
best.
Good mood. You're happy.
We're so happy to be home. I can't even tell you. It's just so nice to be in Los Angeles. How's Los Angeles been since we last saw you?
Well, sad without you. I mean, if that's what you're asking. We barely get by in the morning without you.
It's an empty shell of a city when you're not here.
Oh, it's so hard to be the leader. I just want you all to be happy.
You can get tickets to Ticketmaster if you'd like to go see that show. You guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Ralph Garman joins us. Time for our final showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What the heck's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know, as a Pulitzer Prize-winning entertainment reporter, I do like to keep my finger on the pulse.
I don't think you won
of this business we call show
any awards, let alone a Pulitzer Prize.
It was a Wurlitzer Prize, actually. I won a jukebox. It was a jukebox.
You played the best songs
with your
quarters?
Yeah. So I only not only like to read the news, but I like to do hard-depth, in-depth, hard-edge... In edge, cutting.
You've
edge.
Never done any of this.
I'm going to do an interview right now with a big showbiz celebrity.
All right.
You know him as the star of a little show called American Idol. You know, he's a multi-millionaire. He's a producer. Uh-huh. He's a huge talent. Mr. Ryan Seacrest, everyone. Mr. Ryan Seacrest on the phone.
Well, that was great. That was great. Did you ad-lib that?
Yeah.
Intro.
Was that smooth? Was that smooth?
Good.
He did that off the top of his head. He didn't even take notes.
Yeah.
Now, which one is that, Kevin or Bean?
That was me,
that's Kevin.
Kevin.
That's
here.
Kevin. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan. I'm right here, dude.
Bean's
right
there.
What's going on? We understand you've got troubles.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I really probably shouldn't do this on the air, but yesterday I got called into one of those meetings. You've had them before, right?
We had one yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what'd they tell you?
They told us we need to shut the F up.
We talked too much.
Yes.
My guys called me in, and you know, I put this thing off for weeks, right?
Yeah.
And so I do the show over at the E building. So they drove from Burbank over, and they come in, and I do that small talk for 10 minutes, and I think to myself, this is absolute hell, torture, pain. And then they said, hey, look, the ratings are great, and we have, you know, we're doing okay.
Everything, your ratings are amazing, by the way.
I mean, they've improved since your friend was here. And
Rick Dees.
All right. And so, anyway,
Rick Dees. Oh, Rick Dees. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize. It's been a while. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. So they look fine, and there was a number one next to some of them.
I know.
And then they said to me, you know, we really believe that we can hang on to this position if we keep playing the music, and if you actually play some more music and do a little bit less of what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because your listeners certainly can't get music anywhere,
no,
right?
No, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like you can't find Pitbull anywhere else.
Right. Right.
Where
exactly.
Can you hear Lady Gaga these days?
Exactly. She's nowhere.
Right.
Right.
So just you guys.
And I appreciate us having a moment of bonding here.
Sure.
But I didn't quite know how to handle it, and I was offended, and I took it personally, and I thought, okay, so what they're saying to me is, I've been getting up at 4 in the morning every day doing all these jobs plus this morning show, which I actually love to do.
Right. Right.
I come in, and I actually put time and effort into it and try and do the best
but
I can
don't
do.
Exaggerate.
I'm not talented, so all I have right. to actually try to all do right. this. And then they say, we kind of don't want you to do so much of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Ryan, I got to tell you, we have had that meeting 1,000 times more than you.
Except yes. for the ratings are good part that you've had.
We
don't get that.
We had
right.
Seacrest is kicking your ass. Maybe you guys should shut up and play more Red Hot Chili Peppers. Are we making some kind of a blood bond here? If you get fired, we'll take you on, and if we get fired, you'll take us on?
I think, because what I said to Ellen before we even decided to call was, would they consider
absolutely.
Kevin Bean and Ryan, or Ryan, Kevin Bean? I mean, I don't know how you want to do it.
Well, would you guys do it, like a little trifecta?
We'd take Ellen. We'd have to vote on Ryan.
In fact, we'll shoot Lisa May in the head right now on the phone. We got no problem with that.
Can't Ellen do like news?
But we also, here's the other thing, is that we'd like to be hired in place of Paula Abdul on American Idol.
I'll tell you what.
Is that cool? Hey,
Ralph, are you there?
I am, sir.
I was in a meeting yesterday, and your name came up, and I have a show for you.
You know, I got a call from my manager who said Ryan Seacrest Production Company would like to talk to you about a show.
Yeah, I think you're really good.
I think you're really good too, buddy.
He's not bad 100%, by the way, on
the show. What's the show? Are you guys going to ink a deal? Is it going to be a big,
Do I have to move in with the Kardashians?
Yeah, I'm going to move you in with Courtney and Chloe in Miami.
Look, the truth of the matter is, Ryan, Kevin's not exaggerating when he says we've had this conversation a million times because the bosses think that the people who listen to our respective shows don't care about us. They're not listening because they like Ryan Seacrest. They're not listening because they like Kevin Bean. They're only suffering through us to get to the songs they've heard a million times. That's the mentality of management at radio stations these days.
I mean, you guys have been doing it here longer than I have. How do you handle that? How do you deal with it?
I'm not kidding. We run. We literally leave the station before they have a chance to talk to us. On a daily basis.
Just avoid.
On a daily basis, we do the marine crawl out the front door and head for our cars.
It's like a prison break.
Did they not just ink you guys to like a big 3-year deal?
No.
Look, here's what I don't understand, though, Ryan. You don't. I mean, you may love radio and you're good at radio, but you don't need it. You're making $15 million a year in one of your jobs. Why don't you just shove it and stop doing radio?
Well, you know, I do love it. You know, I do love it. I think actually it's fun for me, but I'd rather do it for somebody that likes me.
Yeah, well, that ain't true.
And you'd probably rather do it at not 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's
too.
The other thing. I don't know how you guys do this every. How you been getting up for so many years like this and not angry?
We don't. First of all, we're plenty angry.
We're always angry. That's never good.
Can I tell you that, ironically, as much as we're all bonding and we're all on the same page here, we got to go. We're out of time. We got to play another song, so we have to say goodbye. We got no choice.
I got Lady Gaga Love Game right now.
Yes, so do we. That's so weird.
All right, Ryan. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
See you later.
So times are tough all over. Even if you're a superstar like Seacrest, you still get the same BS meetings after the show that we do.
So
number one's not enough, I guess.
It's so good to hear that somebody who's kicking our ass is getting the same talk.
He's not number one enough for them over there.
You could be more.
Our bosses could be worse.
They drove over and they said, you're number one. We need to make some changes.
That's not enough. Whatever you're doing, it's all wrong. That whole number one thing's not working out
for you. It's sure a good thing that he's not working here.
Yeah, can you imagine?
God. Wow.
With our numbers, the kind of crap he'd be getting?
Yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
Tough times, guys. Tough times. Make it quick, Ralph. We got to move on. We got this.
There you go. That was my big showbiz news. By the way, that's paired for Ralph. Ralph doesn't come in unless it's a big time guest. He had Christian Bale. He brought in
that's
on the showbiz beat.
Yeah.
He had Falco's drummer's ex wife that one time.
and now
Seacrest. I mean, come on. That's these three for three as far as I'm concerned.
Tomorrow morning, Adam West. Oh, we can only cross our fingers and hope.
Oh, I'm going to make it happen. Adam, Adam West is one of your special guests, Ralph. You should mention again what a cool idea you got for tomorrow.
I'll be broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con. They're expecting over 100,000 fans to descend on the Comic-Con this week.
Oh, good for you!
And it's going to be me down there broadcasting live from the Wired Cafe. Wired Magazine is setting me up at their Wired Cafe. I'll be broadcasting. We're going to talk to some people.
Yes.
Adam Sessler from G4 is going to stop by.
We have Gene Simmons'
kid. Gene Simmons' kid, Nick, is going to be there. He's got a comic book. He'll be talking about Family Jewels, a show he does with his dad as well. Adam West, TV's Batman, will be talking about his new project. So it'll be chock full. I can do my own show. Maybe Seacrest will hire me over there.
We'll just have to see how the fallout happens first.
That's right. Where anyone needs to go. After today's show,
they're
actually
not happy with him.
Yeah, really.
And his ratings.
I know.
You know they're going to say to us, Mr. Weatherby's going to pull us in and go, yeah, I guess it was all right that you had Ryan on. Couldn't you have done that same conversation in 60 seconds, though?
And then squeezed in Pitbull.
All right, exactly.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, this afternoon, Kevin Amin, Cinco de la Tarde, brought to you commercial-free from Warner Brothers Pictures called Orphan. I hear there's something wrong with Esther, you guys.
Oh,
Orphan is in theaters everywhere. That is tomorrow. We'll see you at 5.
I was talking about my fear when I was a kid that snakes would come up through my toilet. That always freaked me out.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. And now you're an adult.
Right, so you know it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right, so I got over it.
You can poop at will.
So I got over that, and then a story came out where a snake came up through the toilet and bit the person in the ass. So now I know it's actually true and possible.
It didn't happen, first of all.
It did happen.
No, it didn't.
It did. That was an accurate report.
Bite the person
in the ass.
Did the snake come up through the toilet?
Yes.
Okay, could it have bitten him?
Did it bite the guy in the ass?
I don't remember, but it certainly could have.
It didn't, in fact. It just came into the toilet. It was a fluke.
Yeah.
A freak accident.
So I'm talking to a friend of mine whose dad works in the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
And he works in the water department. What do you call that? The
Department of Water and
Department
Power.
He says that he himself has seen 6 times a year, on average, 6 times a year that a rat comes up through the toilet.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
6 times a year, a rat.
I mean, your odds are still not good.
So you sit down.
But that's pretty creepy.
Or not bad, but hey, look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you're hoping for rats, Lisa.
You sit down and there's just, you can't see anything, but there's a rat in there.
And then he goes right up your butt, right?
Somehow it knows that that's where the gold is. I don't know how they're born with that.
It's instinct.
6 times a year now, today.
But it's got to be misfunctioning toilets, because there's a trap there that holds the water in the bowl that gets released when
you
flush.
Supposed to be.
Can't get past that.
They do. 6 times a year, Ralph. That's what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you no.
And I said, that can't be true. It has to be just a rumor or whatever. And he says, my dad works there. I'm telling you, 6 times a year, rats.
My dad says that rats come out of the toilet, and my dad could beat your dad up.
But Kevin,
in a schoolyard, does this kid tell you that?
Six times a year in a world of 6 billion people, I mean, you're far more likely to be hit by lightning. Far more likely. How can you even be concerned about something when the odds
are
that low?
Although you don't sit on a lightning rod every day.
Thank you.
Sometimes twice a day, depending on what you had the night before.
That was my childhood fear, was something coming up through the toilet. And for some reason, now, all of a sudden, it's true. After all this time.
I just can't believe, with the paranoia out there about stuff crawling up the toilet, that something hasn't been invented to prevent that from happening. That's
funny
all
you should mention that.
What?
Just before he passed, the late, great Billy Mays, one of the last products he did.
The infomercial guy?
The infomercial guy. He apparently was going to be promoting a new product to protect people's asses from rats.
Really?
No, that's the best news I've ever heard.
It's called the Ass Guard. And we actually found a copy of the commercial online. So, Kevin, you may not be alone in this fear.
This is great.
Hi, Billy Mays for Asgard. Are you afraid that rats will crawl out of the sewer and up your butt?
Yes.
Well, you're not alone. Millions of marginally functional, really stupid people live in constant fear that a rat or other rodent will crawl up from their sewer system and right into their lower colon. Well, with Asgard, that's a thing of the past. Asgard is a revolutionary product that hangs out a sign that tells rats there's no vacancy at the hotel sphincter. Asgard is a high-tech mesh net made of a tungsten steel alloy that not only cradles your butt cheeks in luxurious comfort, but also establishes an impenetrable barrier that no rat can get through. But the spaces in the mesh are wide enough that the kids you're dropping off get sliced and diced and dropped right into the pool. Asgard not only works for rats, but for any creature that might crawl out of your sewer and into your fart tank. Asgard keeps you safe from mice, raccoons, anacondas, guinea pigs, midgets, badgers, iguanas, and parrots. Now, finally, you can do your business in peace and quiet without the fear of unwanted visitors invading your blowhole. Made in the USA, Asgard can be yours today for just $19.95. And if you order in the next 10 minutes, we'll throw in the Ball Wall, a protective testicle cozy for no additional charge. So remember, rectum, protectum with Asgard. Call now, 1-800-RAT-BUTT. That's 1-800-RAT-BUTT. Operators now on duty.
1-800-RAT-BUTT.
I'd like to get you for Christmas.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
What? Come on
Santa
now.
Claus, Santa Claus,
that's
Santa
good. Claus. That's a good song right there.
That is Santa good. Claus.
Did you not keep going this long?
That's Santa Claus' favorite song. Every year, Santa Claus love coming in with Kevin and Bick and Tammy and hearing all them songs. That's a good song right there.
Santa Claus, before we go to the children at 1-800-520-1067, you haven't mentioned it, but are you still hunting and shooting and eating squirrels? Is that still part of your life?
What the hell? Well, Santa Claus always going to be hunting and shooting and eating squirrel, but not just squirrel, chipmunk.
Mm-hmm.
Albin and the chipmunk. Right. Santa Claus eat that whole family up.
Good.
Also, groundhog, prairie dog, little ground squirrel. Sometimes Santa Claus will shoot to eat a poodle.
What?
No.
Yep. Oh, you don't want to eat people's dogs.
Sometimes Santa Claus get real hungry.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a fancy little dog.
All right. 1-800-520-1060. Who do you want to talk to first, Santa Claus?
Well, Santa Claus loves to talk to kids first.
All right. Okay. All right. Then why don't we start with let's start with Brooklyn. Little Brooklyn is 4 years old, Santa Claus, and she's calling us online too to talk to you.
Oh, hello. Hello, Brooklyn.
Hold on. Let me give Brooklyn the phone.
Brooklyn. Oh, well. Brooklyn sounds like she got a adult voice right there.
Yeah, that was her mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hi, Santa.
Well, hello, little Boogin.
Brooklyn.
Boogin. Brooklyn. Okay. How old are you today, little boy or girl?
4.
4 year old? Okay. And have you been a good little boy or girl this year?
I'm a girl.
Okay. And have you been a good girl this year? Have you done all kind of good thing?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been cleaning up your room and keeping all tidy?
Okay.
And what could Santa Claus bring down your chimney on Christmas Day?
Okay. I want a lolly tea.
What?
I want a lolly tea.
You want a what?
A lolly tea.
What the hell is that, a lolly tea?
Is that a doll?
It has curly hair.
That's curly hair. So it sounds like a doll, Santa Claus.
Oh, lolly tea have a curly hair. Is that a doll?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's not a sex doll, no?
She's 4.
Yeah, Santa Claus don't know. First, get on, have an adult voice. Second, get on, say, La La Luce. Santa Claus don't know.
A little girl wants a doll, Santa Claus. Come on.
Okay, well, Santa Claus going to bring La Pop Luce and some Papa Poopy in La La Luce diaper when Santa Claus bring down the toilet for the chimney. Okay? Okay.
Merry Christmas, Boogaloo. Brooklyn. Thank you.
Boogaloo, it's good talking to you.
All right.
Okay. That's a cute kid right there.
Yeah. Let's try Shale. Shale is on.
You know, Santa Claus don't know what the hell going on with these hair names with these kids.
Yeah.
Shale. What? Shale. Santa Claus sometime get on out on his land in Arkansas and drill down deep and he hit on Shale. But he ain't going to hit on this Shale because he's a little kid.
4.5 years old.
Yeah.
Hi, Shale.
Hi.
Shale. How old are you, Shale?
4.5.
And what the hell are you? Boy or girl?
Girl.
You're a girl? Okay. Now, what could Santa Claus bring down your chimney on Christmas?
A dinosaur stuffed animal.
Now, that's a cute thing right there. Shale want dinosaur stuffed animal because sometimes boy want dinosaur and sometimes girl want Barbie doll, La La Lucha,
right?
That kind of thing.
Right.
But that's a whole thing right there. This girl could turn out to be a lesbian.
Oh, no, there's no reason to say something like that, Santa Carl.
Santa Carl basing this on,
on what?
Her choice of toy.
She just likes dinosaurs. All kids like dinosaurs.
That's how it all starts right there. That's how it starts.
Oh, Santa Carl.
You've identified that as
Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie McDonald loved, when Rosie McDonald were little girl, Rosie McDonald loved dinosaur. Brontosaurus, Brontosaurus burger, all that right
Shale's
there.
Still on the line.
Oh, Shale.
I am uncomfortable with this line of questioning.
You know what, Shale? Santa Claus going to bring whatever the hell you want. You know, there's a lot of things for little girls like you. Dinosaur, power tool, all sorts of things. Santa Claus going to bring you everything you need this year, okay? Okay, Shale gone.
Okay, thank you, Shale. Thank you very much for calling.
Who knows where Shale went?
I think Mom pulled her away from the phone when she heard the word lesbian, is my guess.
Yeah, probably right, not. That probably did. That, you know what, Big? That's probably true.
Maybe so. All right, let's try Nolan. Nolan is on line one, Santa Carl, and Nolan is a little boy. I'm telling you in advance so you don't have to ask. Okay?
That's good for Santa Carl to know. Hello there, Nolan. Hello.
It's Nolan.
Hello, how old are you today, little boy or girl?
Six.
Six? Okay, and what can have Nolan been a good boy for Christmas this year?
Oh, I want
to talk with
fire
pimple. What the? You know what? No, sound like Nolan got a whole mess of marble in his mouth right now.
Because oh, sounds like he does, huh?
Santa Claus can't understand.
Me either.
What? Now Nolan making noises.
Nolan, say what you want again, please.
Nolan, Santa Claus need to hear what you need for Christmas. What the hell? Nolan, sound like Nolan need to go to hospital right now. Nolan need a flu shot. That's what Nolan needs. That's a dang thing. Kids spreading all germs. Kids dirty. You know, Santa Claus have 9 or 10, maybe 11 kids himself right now.
You don't know?
Carl Jr., Carlito, little Carlos. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus got a whole bunch of kids. And, oh,
you
what happened?
Ask Nolan what he wants.
Yep. Well, Nolan, what did you want for Christmas this year?
I couldn't understand.
Okay. Okay, we get you a box of Kleenex for Christmas right here. And cover your mouth, because you're a dirty little boy.
I don't know if you want to tell him that. Okay.
Well, you know what? I think we may be out of time this year, Santa Claus. I'm afraid we might be. That might be all the time we have.
What did Kevin and Big want for Christmas this year? You know what Santa Claus want for Christmas this year? Hmm. Santa Claus don't usually ask for gifts, but Santa Claus want him one of them Kardashians. For Christmas right now. But Santa Claus liked the big one, Clucky Kardashian.
You like Clucky?
That's the one Santa Claus wants. He loved that one. And you know what? Lamar Odom going off, he leaving and going to Texas.
Yeah.
Santa Claus stay home and he keep that Clucky Kardashian real warm.
I can see you two together. It's a great combination. That's a fantastic idea.
That'd be good.
And Clucky's pretty cool. So I think
Clucky got it all going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Santa Carl has been on the Kevin and Bean Show once again this year.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's Merry so Christmas, Santa Carl.
You know what? Y'all have a great 2012.
You too, son.
We will.
Yeah, and Santa Claus come back next year.
Yes.
Okay. And talk to all the little kids. Okay, then. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bye, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus going home to the North Pole.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls.